The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
A new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling. I'm, as always, your host, Striga. And I am, of course, as always, joined by Dylan from beautiful Tennessee. Is it beautiful even around Christmas time, Dylan?
Yeah, it's a really sunny day out right now. Sometimes we're a state in America that it could be snowy, it's never really warm, but It could be kind of nice outside. And earlier, actually, the heat in the house went out last week, I would say, for two different days, the week out. And that was not good at all. Let me tell you, it was like 18 degrees. No snow, though. It is a nice day, as always. Like Striga said, I'm Dylan Harris. He always forgets my last name. I'm just random guy he picked up. But it's morphin' time.
Yeah. I'm sorry for that. I spent, of course, Christmas with my parents. I'm still in my hometown, like 2 hours away from my place. So this is a really rural area of Germany where the internet connection isn't very good, and I don't have my usual setup, so the quality might differentiate from the other episodes we did. But Christmas time was really good. I hope all of you, all our listeners, had a good Christmas. Dylan, I know what you did for Christmas, and it was certainly some experience. So,
hey, before that, I want to tell you something I didn't tell you off air.
Oh, okay.
That is that I got some really nice socks for Christmas this year, and I also won nearly $150 betting on football and basketball. So I want to point that out to all the people out there. So it was a pretty nice Christmas overall, though I did miss half of my family. I've stayed with my half of the family, with the great grandparents, grandma, mom, and her boyfriend or whatever. It's a complicated thing, my family, but we had a nice dinner and everything like that. So it was a pretty good Christmas. Romantic enticings notwithstanding, I would say, straight.
Yeah, no, yeah,
hopefully everyone had a great Christmas this year, and all the other holidays, too. If you are Jewish listeners, I know we have a big contingent in Israel, so I'd like to thank all the Jewish listeners and hope they had a happy Hanukkah as well.
Did you just make it up?
Totally. We don't have any listeners in Israel. I don't follow the listeners. You know more about this than me, but I'm assuming we have at least a few.
But he is not located in Israel, so...
He's Jewish.
Yeah, yes. But why not? But why not? Of course.
Sure.
Yeah, so...
All
so,
the countries.
Yeah, Christmas is the time of everybody getting together. So I had the experience...
Drunk in Germany.
Yes. for me, it was like 5 consecutive days from Thursday to Monday, and I felt really bad yesterday.
That's Hanukkah style right there too. I will say that, having multiple days to celebrate. So I appreciate that tidings. It was a good Christmas. We had a tree and everything. Did you have a tree, sir, at your
house? Of course,
Christmas tree.
The tradition of a Christmas tree is actually from Germany. So
yes, we all stole it from you
yeah,
guys.
Yeah.
All the other countries.
Of course,
we decorated ours. We had some icicle type thingies, lights. It was really pretty hanging off the tree. We actually have this river walk where the city where I'm from, where the entire river side is decked out with great Christmas lights and stuff like that. And I walked through it. There was a whole tunnel of Christmas lights, rainbow colored Christmas lights that I walked through. It was pretty awesome. I have to get that up there. Christmas rocks.
That sounds very cool, actually. Yeah. Yeah, so from Christmas, we can dive right into our first topic, because the man we are going to talk about, he was born to be our savior, and eventually he will die for our sins. I'm, of course,
highly
talking about none other than Atsushi Onita, because what a couple of days Onita has had over Christmas. Let's look back at what happened to Onita. December 23rd.
He may die. I think that's the most true part that you said.
Yeah, I'm actually not joking. And Over Christmas, I was really worried about his condition because it was so bad. But let's get through it, because on December 23rd there was the FMW show in Takamatsu, and there is a picture on my Twitter from the 23rd. Atsushi Onita broke his right leg at the FMW show in Takamatsu. Was later corrected by Bahu at Bahu. That's B-A-H-U-F-M-W. Apparently, Onita, quote-unquote, only broke his lower pelvis. So he was still in a pretty bad condition. So he was delivered to a hospital. And he was in the news was that he was supposed to be out for 2 months following that. And I immediately, of course, thought about the All Asia Tag match. That is scheduled on January 2nd. But the son of a gun, Onita is, he wants to do the All-Asia defense, because, like Bahu pointed out, Onita stems from a different era in Japanese wrestling, where if you are the draw of a card, you work this card. And that's it.
Yeah.
So Onita then went on to wrestle on, I guess I have always also have to say, quote-unquote, wrestle at the final Apache Pro show on December 25, on Christmas Day, actually. And he was standing on his own two legs inside the ring 2 days after he broke his lower pelvis. 2 days. Then,
man, I'm cringing right now just listening to this. I think a lot of our listeners are as well. They were not aware.
Then there was a quote from Onita. I think I translated it either from PKDX or from Tokyo Sports. Atsushi Onita, about the scheduled All-Asia Tag Team defense on January 2nd. He said, "Honestly, I can't say what kind of match can be done, but I can't put any trouble on Mr. Masanobu Fuchi. Even if I die on January 2nd, I go to the ring."
Man.
So,
that's crazy.
2 days later, Onita was supposed to work a mid-card match on Kintaro Kanemura's retirement show on December 27th. But of course, Onita wasn't in the main event for that show, unlike for the Apache Pro show he did wrestle on. So Onita canceled that booking. For Kanemura was still at the show, but was then on crutches, for God's sakes, luckily. And then he had a statement about missing Kanemura's retirement show. Statement was as follows: "I will go to Shinkiba for Shota 8 on December 31st, because I think Shota is getting surgery." And he said, "I will go to Shinkiba for Shota 8 on December 31st, even if I have to crawl, and I will surely participate in the All Japan show on January 2nd. I'm sorry, I would like to sincerely apologize to Mr. Kintaro Kanemura." And so, apparently this All-Asia Tag title match is still scheduled to happen, and because Onita is the draw of this card,
yeah,
I think this match is going to happen. But today, Jun Akiyama told the press that he's expecting Onita to bring weapons to the All-Asia Tag match. Of course, the match is Onita and Fuji as the 100th champions defending against Jun Akiyama and Masao Inoue in Kuroken Hall. And Akiyama is expecting Onita to bring weapons. So Akiyama countered by saying he's threatening to bring Kendo Kashin. So,
oh no!
the deadliest weapon of them all.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I can't handle this kind of destruction on an All Japan show. This is an honorable promotion. I'm worried about that. I can't, especially with Onita in his condition. Do not let Kashin near him, please.
Over the last couple of days, I was torn between honest fear of Onita dying and pure admiration at what this guy is going through at the age of, I believe he's 59 years old now. I think, and he's supposed to retire next year. Yeah, he's 59 right now. He's wrestling for 42 years. Of course, the last few years on and off, but overall, 42 years. And it's just, this story is just amazing. And every time,
really is.
Every time I see a new quote from Onita, and I see him in the ring again after suffering such damage, I'm just lost for words, Dylan. I'm really lost for words.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, really, more than anything, I mean, of course I'm worried, because this is so dangerous what he's doing, and likely so very painful to him as well. But to see this level of commitment, and to see this level of love and passion that he still has at age 59, that's something that I really consider more admirable. I know some people will criticize him for, because this is very dangerous, obviously. And as well, let's be honest, he's taking all these risks for a match with Masao Inoue in it. You know, like,
yes.
You know, I mean, it's true that he is the draw, but how much can you really say? It's an Inoue match, you know, let's calm down. But
there's not going to be a swan dive shooting star presses.
No, no, there will not be anything. This will not be Ospreay and Ricochet at over the top wrestling, to say the least. But the point is, though, that, and that just goes to show how dedicated Onita really is to all of this as well, to wrestling, you know. And he started in All Japan, you know, it could be in All Japan, it could be in Apache Pro, you know, it could be anywhere. He just has such passion, and I really admire that from Onita. You know, regardless of what you think of him as a wrestler, you know, in the past in FMW or now that he's, you know, in his advanced age, I can't understand why anybody wouldn't just be so impressed. And so, you know, he's just doing a really amazing job of keeping his passion for the industry alive. And I love that. I love that in wrestling, because there are so many people in wrestling that will wrestle, but they don't have passion for it. You know, it's not something they consider their livelihood. And you can tell that this guy eats, sleeps, and breathes pro wrestling, a pro wrestler. So I'm in awe of this guy, but I am really worried about him sometimes. And I was never even a huge fan of his, like, even his prime. So this isn't me, you know, going crazy in a fanboy moment or anything. But just to see, that shows a lot of heart that I respect in wrestling and in life. And I think we can all learn something from that, though maybe not to this extreme extent. I will say that.
Yeah, when he made his really full-time comeback, I think around 2012,
yeah.
I really... developed a newfound respect for this guy, mm-hmm. because of all the stuff he's putting himself through, like you just mentioned. And you also mentioned him starting in All Japan. Part of this All Asia tag match is also that Akiyama suggested that Onita returns in short tights like he wore in the days when he was the NWA Junior Heavyweight Champion, NWA International Junior Heavyweight Champion, like, I think back in the early 80s, that must have been.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
A long time ago. And so I want to quote a tweet from the user...
That could be, by the way, if he does down those short tights.
Yeah.
I don't agree with Akiyama on that one. I have to disagree with Uncle June on this one.
I want to quote a tweet from the user Ultimo Dank. He said, "I want Onita to show up in traditional tights as requested, and Akiyama to show up in Onita cosplay." That would be awesome.
I thought he was going to say he wanted to come back in blue tights, like when he was in All Japan originally. That sounds like a much better idea. But an Onita cosplay, that could be... Or maybe Onita could show up in his short-lived Bret Hart cosplay phase that he had in 1997 FMW. That's what I want to see most. Bring back his Bret Hart attire.
Yeah, so you already mentioned it. Onita was closely linked, of course, to FMW. And another man closely linked to FMW finally retired from professional wrestling. He announced his retirement, I think, late last year. He announced that he would retire on December 27th this year. The man, of course, is Kintaro Kanemura. And with Kintaro Kanemura, Apache Pro Wrestling also closed down. And I'm right now looking at the final card for Apache Pro Wrestling. The show was called Final Gong. It was held in Shinkiba First Ring in front of officially around about 400 fans. That's ambitious for Shinkiba, not to say the least.
Yeah.
But there are so many different people on this card. There is the core roster that Apache Pro had within the last months. Koji Kanemoto was the WEW Heavyweight Champion, the World Entertainment Wrestling Heavyweight Champion, for most of 2015, lost the belt at the final Apache Pro show to Kintaro Kanemura, and he's going to take that belt into retirement with him. But the other title, the other WEW title, is the WEW Tag Team title, which was won by Tatsuya Takaiwa and Tetsuhiro Kuroda, longtime tag team partner of Kintaro Kanemura, legendary tag team in the Japanese indie scene. They defeated Keisuke Okuda of, I don't know if you can call it IGF fame, but he was a wrestler in IGF for a long time, and Tomohiko Hashimoto, who is working all the promotions that Onita is also involved with. And there are so many other guys like Hayate from this indie group. What's the indie group called? I don't know. But he's working some deep indie groups. Let me say the least. some very, very deep indie groups.
Everyone search this up, because that can be educational to find those groups.
Yeah, guys like him, then there is Shinobu, and then there is a sighting of one Keiichi Sato on this Apache Pro card, which is kind of amazing, you know?
Yeah, I know, that is crazy.
But overall, it's going to change indie wrestling, because Apache Pro, they weren't really a big draw anymore like they used to be when they started running in around 2008, but still a home to many guys that didn't really that are freelance wrestlers. For example, they had a tag team match at one show, I believe, in around the summertime, when Mikami, who left DDT, teamed with Naoki Tanizaki, who is a freelancer for Dragon Gate, and stuff like that. And all those guys, they are going to find a new home as another trainee from I think he was trained in Apache Pro 2, or let me see where he made his debut, actually. Yeah, I think he made his debut at an Apache Pro show. I'm not sure right now. I would have to look that up. But his name is Hasegawa. Hasegawa, he announced that he's going to form a new group. A new group,
yes,
for all the guys that now became quote-unquote homeless after Apache Pro closed down. So
yep,
that is going to happen for Apache Pro, as I'm just looking at their homepage to find more about the guy I call Hasegawa. Dylan, Apache Pro Wrestling, they had some ups and downs. Did you follow any of their history? They used to have guys like Takashi Sasaki too.
Yeah, you know, and just looking at this card here, you know, for the final show, and you can really see right now what Apache Pro has become. Really, some of the outcast of wrestling. It seems like you have someone like Kanemoto, who,
yes,
used to be a big star, but can't get hired for numerous reasons in bigger companies. And they even had Tiger Shark of Battle Arts fame under now his new gimmick of the Blue Shark, which I wanted to mention. You know, it was never... Would you ever say that it was a huge company?
No.
Yeah. It was a very indie company for its existence.
Yeah.
Started around the mid-2000s, probably been around a decade, maybe, you know, a decade to a dozen years, I would say.
Yeah.
And they've done good, like you said. It's been around for so long. They started out with, you know, Kanemura. Go Ito, I think, was,
yes,
one of the original founders.
Started in 2004, actually.
Yeah, so about a dozen years or so, I'd say. And then it went to Sasaki, and Kanemura took over there. But they've always been an indie company. You know, in Japan, they've lasted long. 12 years is a good run for an indie company in Japan.
Yeah,
and hopefully... Yeah.
At the beginning of their run, of course, they had some fans coming over from, it's kind of the FMW nostalgia, of course.
Yeah, you could definitely say that. And you could see, like, a lot of those guys that they brought in. You know, I'm sure you could look at, you know, any random card from 2006, 2007, somewhere like that. And you could see that they probably did all right. They probably had some people. Look, I'm going to do this right now. I'm clicking on a random show in 2006 of Apache Pro. Okay. Apache Pro, This Is War. Check this out here. Do you know? Can you guess who's the main event of this? You're going to love this.
Okay. I'm not looking at the card, but I'm guessing. I'm guessing it's Kintaro Kanemura.
He is what? I will give you this hint. It's a barbed wire board 6-man tag team street fight death match.
That's Zushi Onita. Six...
No, he's not one of the men.
Okay, Jun Kasai.
No. Okay, listen to this. I'll tell you. First of all, It is Kintaro Kanemura teaming with Tetsuhiro Kuroda.
Of course.
And Satoshi Kojima taking on the team of Takashi Sasaki, Shiro Koshinaka, and Togi Makabe.
Oh, boy. Oh, I missed those times when Makabe was really working death matches.
Yes, I know. Kojima in a death match. Could you imagine that?
No.
You know? Oh. That just shows you what that, I love random indie wrestling like that from 2006. Obata was in the opener of 0-1 fame. We had Daisuke Sekimoto in the semi-main versus Mammoth Sasaki. Bad Boy Hito in Jun Kasai. Gato was on this card taking on Gitaro. So this company is very, very strange in 2006. I think that's what we could say looking at this card here. But very awesome. Apache Pro. And this drew over 1,000 fans to Corican Hall.
Well, there's Kojima and Makabe, of course, right? So yeah,
Kojima.
I was looking at the profile for Hasegawa on the Apache Pro page, and he made his debut in November of 2013. But I can't find out which promotion that was for. Has to be Apache Pro Wrestling, basically. So this company is going down 2017. There's going to be a new company for all those guys. And the WEW Tag Team title is going to be continued, as I just mentioned. And so it's always good to have a group like this running because it means more dates for indie guys. And that's just
this
what
is
it's all about.
I like these companies more than like just random like kind of indie companies that are kind of like going nowhere. Yeah. Because like I said, this gives people that were kind of like outcast, like an Apache Pro style company, more of a home. And so, similar to something like even though probably more known than Apache Pro, but something like Basara now brings in a lot of those guys that were kind of left out. So I really love companies like that operating in the indie scene in pro res.
Yeah, so yeah, we had then the final show in Kintaro Kanemura's career that was on December 27th. I don't want to go through the entire card, but I want to talk about the main event of this show, because in Kintaro Kanemura's retirement match, Daisuke Sekimoto, Kohei Sato, and Yuji Hino beat Kintaro Kanemura, Tetsuhiro Kuroda, and Masato Tanaka, two guys, Tanaka and Kuroda, who were longtime allies and opponents of Kintaro Kanemura, and shared a career in multiple organizations with Kanemura. And Kanemura, in his final match, first got a pile driver from Kohei Sato, then a frog splash from Yuji Hino, a lariat from Kuroda, from his own partner, I guess, and then a German suplex hold from Daisuke Sekimoto to finish off his career. Yeah, just amazing. And on this card, there were so many guys, like Mr. Ganosuke. There is I want to talk about the semi-main too, because it's an FMW 10-man tag team match. Mr. Ganosuke, Nosawa Rongai, Onryo, Gosaku Goshogawara, and Yuki Miyazaki defeated Takamichi Noko, Riki Fuji, Minoru Tanaka, Tajiri, and Goemon. So, amazing show of indie guys right now. Takayama on this card, of course, too. Magnitude Kishiwada, the Freedom's Crew, Yusaku Obata as well, Shinjiro Otani in the opening match. Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Amazing stuff in Corican Hall. for Kentaro Kanemura's retirement show, in the end, even Matsunaga appeared in a suit. And
oh my god, that sounds amazing.
And shook Kanemura's hand, drawing 1,350 fans in Kuroken Hall. That's a great goodbye for Kanemura, whose career had ups and downs. You know, he was he won many belts in FMW, which was, of course, his prime. He then went on to, I think he had a stint with 0-1 as well. I think I first saw him when he was in 0-1 in 2002, around that time. He then went to this Apache Pro deal we talked about. And with the Apache Army, also, he was competing in Big Japan Pro Wrestling at the time, around 2007-2008. And then there was this incident with female staff. He allegedly sexually assaulted some female staff of Big Japan Pro Wrestling, and there was a big scandal around that time in 2008. And then basically that was basically the end of Kentaro Kanemura's career on the big stages, and then he turned to working more independent groups, and basically just his FMW, his Apache Pro promotion. He briefly founded a company called XFW. Do you remember that?
No, I have no remembrance of this.
In 2008, with the scandals of Apache Pro Wrestling, Kanemura was briefly was originally indefinitely banned from Apache Pro Wrestling too. He founded a group called XWF, called the Extreme Wrestling Force.
Sounds pretty cool. That's a cool name.
Yes, but I think this company only had like one or two shows.
That's probably, I can't remember it.
Yeah, 2008, XFW. I don't think we even have a company profile for that company.
Oh, man.
XFW. Let me go back. I need to search that XFW card right now.
Well, let me just say that I remember him more. I remember seeing him. I kind of missed out on FMW in its prime. I always knew him more as like Wing Kanemura, like representing Wing for a long time. And more just a name and someone I would occasionally see, not someone I would hugely followed. I remember seeing him with that, as I said, Apache Pro and New Japan team up. He also improved on, you know, New Japan shows, Lockup and things like that.
Yes.
And from around 2006 to 2008. You can look back on a bunch of those and you can see him on New Japan shows, you know, now and again between 2006 and I'd say about 2008 or so. And that, I just remember seeing him on those old tapes and wondering he's not someone these, you know, these Apache Pro kind of style of hardcore guys. He's someone, I think even like, you know, Sasaki, like even, I think Shadow WX was on a Lockup show, a few Lockup shows. And you could tell that Apache Pro started out as that sort of thing. Like, WEW was Samson Fuyuki's, like, company, but before he unfortunately passed away and stuff like that. And he's one of the main guys in late FMW in the 90s before it went out of business. And WEW is kind of the takeoff of the next FMW, so to speak. And so having that WEW title in Apache Pro, it showed where their roots kind of came from, where Kanemura's roots always came from.
Yes, I found this XWF show, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And for their debut in 2008, on August 6, 2008, they only drew 700 fans, which is why this company probably didn't last. The show was called Give Me Hardcore or Give Me Chair.
Yes, of course.
And there are so crazy matches on this card. Like, in the second match, Tomohiro Ishii defeated a guy called Yuzuru Saito, who was, I think, a rookie of 0-1 back then. Then there was a six-man tag team street fight. Atsushi Onita, Riki Shoshu, and Shiro Koshinaka defeated Masada, Nosawa Rongai, and Takemura, the Tokyo Gurantai group. And in the main event of that show, Kentaro Kanemura, Masato Tanaka, and Tetsuhiro Kuroda, the trio we talked about earlier, they defeated the team of Super Leatherface, which was Corporal Kirchner, I guess, at that point. He teamed with Raven and...
Of course.
And Tracy's Smothers.
What a team.
Yes. So
why did the show not continue? Why did this company not go on? I don't understand.
So to basically summarize the career that Kentaro Kanemura had, it was bizarre.
Always representing FMW and Wing. You know, like I said, I always know him as Wing Kanemura.
Yeah.
More than his real name. So.
Dude, where do we go from this sleazy promotions we just talked about? I actually have an idea, Dylan.
Let's go
to another sleazy promotion.
Oh, I have a feeling I know which one.
Let's go to Pro Wrestling Noah.
Of course. The ultimate sleazy promotion. the promotion for all the outcasts, as we know them now. Noah has really taken up that mantle this past month.
Yes. I don't know if you saw the December 14 show from Shinjuku Face, but this show on December 14, it had all those indie names they brought in for the Winter Navigation Tour. And on that show, there was a very, very good match, very good mid-card match between Taichi Ishimori and the man who we know as Hiroki, or otherwise on other podcasts called Hi 69. And on this card, there was also Ryan Fujiwara and the K-Dojo guys, Kotaro Yoshida and Yoshiro Horaguchi were on that card, and Hayata and Tadasuke of Osaka Pro fame. And yeah, it was just very fun to see the Noah guys mixing it up with new guys after those 2 years that we basically wasted with Suzuki-gun. And when I saw the December 24 card, the card that ran on Christmas Eve, that draw over 1,000 fans for Noah on Christmas Eve, which isn't bad considering all the circumstances. I noticed immediately in the opening match that the fans were very much into the product that was presented to them, which is a complete turnaround from what we got for the most part in the recent 2 years of Suzuki-gun.
Listen, you can listen back to this show numerous times. Whenever we talk about Noah, I would always say once Suzuki-gun left, it would give a phantom uplift to this promotion. I said this a ton of times, and I think it was totally true, based not only on attendance, but also, as you said, I thought this crowd was awesome for this Christmas Eve show. And I did check out that 14 show. I did check out a few matches. I noticed the Ishimori and High 69 match, which was very nice. But this 12-24 show, I'm glad we're getting into it, because this made me so happy by the end of this. I was so happy. Some shows I watch, and I'm sure we'll get into one later, I just watch and I'm like, why is Striga making me watch this crap when we do this show? But this one, and I kind of came into this one thinking, not knowing what I was going to get at a lot of the Noah shows, but after I saw this show, I was like, yeah, man, Noah is looking... I will say this, and I'll get to my point. I'll wrap this up when we get to the very end of this show, but it really inspired me to watch that 14 show, and I'm really excited for Noah going into 2017, and I love this show a lot.
Yeah, so as you just mentioned, 2017, there are some things happening in K-Dojo, Pro Wrestling Noah. I'm so into those K-Dojo guys right now because I have this one name in capital letters here in my notes. Yeah, the indie guys. It's apparently Hiroki is going to stay around as he's going to be a cornerstone, or he's planned to be a cornerstone of their junior heavyweight division going forward, as Atsushi Kotoge and Kenno are leaving the junior heavyweight division for as they are going heavyweight, which is funny because Hiroki is like, he's around 95 kilos, around 220 pounds like that, and Kotoge is much small, not much smaller, but he's skinnier, right? He has to bulk up to be a real heavyweight, like Maro Fuji had to do when he first became a heavyweight. But this kind of stuff, this tells you who is booking right now, and I just mentioned his name. So Kotoge is, I think, around 170 pounds right now.
You say Kotoge is booking right now? I just want to get that out there.
No.
Are you breaking this news?
I was mentioning the other guy.
Oh, him. Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Yes. I would love to see what Kotoge would do. He brings some Osaka Pro connection. He seems to have a good eye for talent, at least. Kotoge does.
Yeah, Kotoge, he made a statement that he hopes that guys like Hayata and Tadasuke get their shot for Noah, and that's really what they should do. They need to search the indies for guys, and there are guys. And you don't have to look too far, as I mentioned, K-Dojo. They had Kotaro Yoshino on, they had Yoshihiro Horaguchi on. They're continuing to use Ryan Fujiwara on the upcoming tour, which is good for him, and on our last show, we also mentioned Taishi Takisawa. He isn't back for the first navigation tour, and I don't know why, because he's really...
He's
good. They should get into him. And there is another promotion that has a lot of young upstarts. It's Pro Wrestling Freedoms. For example, Yuya Suzumu or Toru Sugiura. He's a very good guy. Those kind of names is what Noah should go for. Maybe they're not turning to Freedoms because they have this deathmatch stigma that is always kind of a burden on careers like Kanemura's career too and Masato Tanaka's career for the most part. But they have to turn to the indies. And I really hope that they find new talent, and I'm excited for new matchups as Noah is going to set sail for 2017. And one thing that came out this week too was that Noah is leaving Diffa Ariake. Diffa Ariake was the home for Pro Wrestling Noah since their foundation in 2000. Of course, Diffa Ariake is going to close in 2018, and apparently the contract, which is the official reason, the contract of Noah office buildings ran out and they had to renew, and they didn't. They now have a new office building like five minutes away from Kirken Hall. In Diffa Ariake, there also, not only was their office in Diffa Ariake, but also their dojo was in Diffa Ariake. And when you are changing your offices, that is usually never a very good sign.
No, that's not the kind of change you want going into a new year. excuse me. But I just, like you said, I just to go back to your point on Freedoms, they do need to have an indie. I know Uchida is a fan of the indies, and they've done a good job with what they've had so far. I agree with you on Takizawa. He's a really strong wrestler. That was someone I was very excited about. Hayata, he worked Freedoms, did he not? Even as recently as Christmas, their last show after Christmas Day.
Yeah, he even is their tag team champion, I guess.
He's
the King of Freedom tag team champion with Yuya Suzumu.
Yes. So, like you said, they don't even have to look very far for additional talent to fill up these rosters. And I really like what they're doing on the roster. But as you mentioned, changing the dojos out and the offices out, that's not good. there's no real way to sugarcoat it. But they're going through change right now, so I that story is kind of off to me a little bit, that they had to renew it, but they didn't, you know. That's not the kind of thing I think you would just let go, but...
Yeah, so...
We'll
see how that all turns out for them. It's certainly very obvious that they have to that they are scaling down on talent. They winter navigation final in Kirk and Hall on Christmas Eve, they only used 18 wrestlers, which of course...
Yeah, you could look on the cage match profile for that show, and it'll only be like two rows long of people.
Yeah. Of course, also due to the fact that Quiet Storm tore his biceps.
That's true.
Yeah, that's bad. I hope he'll be back soon. Also with his...
Get well soon.
Yeah, with his 50-centimeter lariat, he has to work on that it will be back at 50 centimeters.
So, I will say this, though. I don't think it was to the detriment of this show overall, the lack of people used that, you know.
No, not at all. And we are going to get into that. Because, first of all, we had Hitoshi Kumano really again delivering a strong showing here as he teamed with Taiji Ishimori against Hajime Ohara and Kenno. And at one point in this match, Hajime Ohara, he and Kenno are splitting up, and Kenno talked shit about Ohara not being the weak link of the team, which I guess Ohara, he used as a reason to just shoot on poor Hitoshi Kumano at one point in this match, just slapping him, and when Kumano fell to the ground, he was just hammer fisting him in the face. Man,
yeah. First of all, I just want to point out the opening to this show. It starts off with Suzuki's promo from last month, and it goes into everything that's happened up to this point. But when they show the matchups, Mara Fuji's hair in this pre-show setup looked absolutely horrible, like worse than Nakamura, Tanahashi, or his own hair has ever looked. It was this weird mohawk slash ponytail type thing that he had. It looked horrible, or a mullet slash ponytail thing. It was horrible. I just wanted to bring that out. I love how Kumano still isn't getting his own entrance here. The first thing we hear is Ishimura's music hit. He has a great theme song. I love his theme music. But then it just cuts to Kumano in the ring. They're saying, oh, here's Kumano. He's running the ropes.
Here's our young boy.
Yes, exactly. Oh, for 5 years now.
And also to that matter, as I just mentioned, young boy, very bad news for Noah, of course, was that Shiro Tomoyose had to retire due to complications after his shoulder injury, which wasn't healing correctly, so he had to retire. He was a good prospect for Pro Wrestling Noah, which of course hurts them, as they don't have that much young talent right now. There is one guy who made his debut in some Battle Royal matches on the tour called Yuta Miyawaki. And Noah is still getting those young guys because they were fans around that time when Kobashi had his big run. You know?
Yeah. That was an amazing time.
This generation of fans that were fans around the teenage time.
Yeah.
When Kobashi had his run, they are apparently now turning to Noah and wanting to become wrestlers for them.
And that's great news, because a lot of times, we talked about the dojo earlier, that dojo was empty for a couple of years. There's barely anyone in it. The years probably around 2012, 2013. A lot of scandals. There was actually a lot of great talent towards the end of the decade, of last decade, around 2009, 2010, with people like Ito and so on. But a lot of them had to retire due to injury, and it just seemed like it was a curse, almost, a lot of people talked about. But it's great to see so many new guys coming in, turning into Noah's Dojo, and that's where they're going to have to grow more than anything. And they've done a good job, because, like you said, Kumano had a really nice performance here. We'll talk about some others coming up, but just in this match, I also wanted to mention how the fans got very excited over Ishimori's yellow Santa hat that he had.
That was amazing.
During his interview. Yeah, so that was very cool. Speaking of bad hair as well, Ishimori growing his hair out, I did not approve. I noted that Ohara, in particular, not just how great he was, but he was very popular among the crowd in this match. I thought he was the most over person of the four. And Ishimori and Ohara started out with a tremendous lucha-style opening. that these guys have. They've always had really strong chemistry. If you look back to when Ishimori had his really long junior reign in around 2012, 2013, they had a match in, I think, January 2013 that was just a really amazing match that these two have. So I can't wait to see these guys tango again. Kumano and Ishimori had hostilities early on. Keno and Ohara, as you mentioned, as well as Ohara and Ishimori. So they did a lot with this opening match, you would think of, to build off of. And the crowd was so hot for it. Keno got the win after, you know, a very basic PK over Kumano. And Ishimori and Ohara, they kind of jawed afterwards, and they broke up. And I'm not really in favor of them breaking up, even though Keno is going to be a heavyweight. I didn't think it was necessary to bury Ohara for some reason like that. But it just felt like there's a lot of juice left in the tank as a team. For the other person moving that we'll get to, I think it felt like it was kind of time they had ran their course. With this tag team, I think they had things left to do as a team, and I would love to have seen them kind of stick around, even if Keno moves up to heavyweight, even though Ohara, to me, came across as a bigger star in this match. And I also think he's a better wrestler. That's not a shot at Keno, though, because he's great, too. I've always been a fan of his. And Impro, we talked about it all the time. But Ohara, I think, is on a really another level right now. And Ishimori as well. I think both of these guys are going to have an awesome match whenever they...
Yeah. Well, actually, I always viewed Keno as the charisma of the tag team, you know?
And I
guess that's why they are pulling him up to be heavyweight. But yeah, it feels like it's an abrupt change.
Yeah,
because they have to change things around.
Yeah,
around Noah.
Ohara seemed like more popular in this match, though, among this crowd. I thought pretty clearly. I thought he was most over of the four men, even more than Ishimori. But I'm just a big fan of Ohara as a crowd. But like you said, Keno has a more suited character already, and is more charismatic on the microphone. But I'm a huge fan of both guys, actually. But I just think Ohara is more over and a better wrestler. But Keno, very, very good. And I wonder what his ceiling is as a heavyweight Keno's right now. Because his reaction with the crowd, I don't think... He doesn't have a connection that other people do, I feel like. Let me just say that. Yet. But he can get there if they give him a chance. And I'm interested to see what he does. I think it's a great idea, as we'll get on later.
And we, of course, then had Guy. We were very high on when he was announced for the Global League, and right deservingly so, because Alejandro Zayas, he had a great match with Noah rookie Kaito Kiyomiya. Those two had some very nice exchanges, and in the end, Alejandro Zayas bursting out this gorgeous spiral tap from the top rope.
Yes.
That was so good. And Zayas is also staying. He's staying around for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, so, that's really great news.
Yeah, so that's happening. And Kaito Kiyomiya, he made second place in the Weekly Sports Rookie Awards. And he is really good, too.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of both of these guys. Saez came out of purple here, worked more heelish style, too, which I thought was unique. He slammed Kiyomiya on the floor. Kaito was very over with the crowd, too, I noted as well. I'm a huge fan of this guy. We talked about him whenever he came off. And I noted it here as well. Not only was he over with the crowd, but he showed great fire and burst. Just on little things. I noted when he hit the ropes, he burst off them great. You know, when he came up with his flying forearm, he had a huge pop to it. His missile dropkick was great. The way he bumped on his suplexes, he comes across to me. He's someone, who's really motivated, but with all these changes going on, he seems like someone that wants to show himself and prove himself, even as he's very young into the game, and he's doing a great job so far.
His selling is very, very good at the stage of the career he's in right now.
Yeah, and that's what I was about to say, too, but I think a lot of that comes from his passion that he has. He gets a great reaction. He projects to me almost as a Yoshi-Ahashi-esque face, but with a lot more athleticism and smoothness to his wrestling that he has. when he gets up, because he seems like, I think he's got a lot of upside, like Kiyomiya does. I'm a huge fan of that. I think Saez also, as this heel that he's kind of played, I think he's you know, a foreigner, obviously. I think he does a great job with it, has good facial expressions. And that spiral tap, like you said, that's always been his finisher, but this one in particular was a dead bullseye hit on Kiyomiya. So that was a great job. That was an awesome finish, too. I really liked that match, actually.
Yeah, I did, too, and as you mentioned, Kiyomiya being very popular, especially with the ladies in the crowd. And
yeah,
as we know in pro wrestling, that is always, especially in Japan, that is very, very important, as promotions really live or die by their female fans.
Don't tell Super Sasha Dango Machine this.
Yeah.
But yes, you're right. When I first saw him, I noted his huge eyebrows that he had. Very, very reminiscent of Vegeta from Dragon Ball Z and GT as well. I noted his look if he had a little taller hair. So I think he's got a great look. But I just think he's got, like I said, he comes across to me as someone that's very passionate and loves wrestling. Just the way he bumps on the little things, like I said. And like you said, his selling was great. There was a part where Saez had him in a leg lock, and Kiyomiya just fought back and fought back with forearms while he was standing over top of him. I thought it came across really well.
Yes, 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 yes. And it's good that you just mentioned Dragon Ball, because I'm going to get into that later on.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so next up we had a tag match that was fine. It was changed due to the fact, as I mentioned, that Quiet Storm was injured. Goshi Ozaki and Maybach Taniguchi, they defeated Akitoshi Saito and Mohamed Yone. Shiozaki slowly is getting his mojo back, right?
Yeah, somewhat. With the crowds, like I said, I thought this was an okay match. I think Gyo and Maybach actually make a pretty good team together. They teamed when Gyo was around the first time, when Maybach was just starting as himself. And I think they make a pretty good team. They have some double teams that they used here. I noted that Gyo's lariat hit Saito right in the face.
Oh my god, this lariat was so badly timed.
Yes, no, it was horrible. It was horrible. Yeah. He killed Saito with this awful lariat right to the face.
Yes.
So that took me, that dragged us down a little bit, but it was an okay match. I will say also that I miss Go's Enforcer music that he had, his old theme song. This new one doesn't fit him as well,
nope,
in my opinion.
Nope. What did you think about the Junior Heavyweight Tag Team title match? Because I think on Twitter this match was kind of a match that was either loved or hated.
Well, it wasn't loved by me, but I think hated might be a little bit of a strong. I just thought it went too long, like way too long for this mid card match.
Hey, you're stealing my gimmick here. Come on.
Yeah, well, I am, but I actually didn't think some of the later matches went too long. And just for this match with these people, I don't need to see 27 minutes of Jado and Gato. I also don't think it was necessary for where they were going in the storyline of the company. If it was possible, I would have had this. I would have tried to have this to be as quick of a win as possible for Momonosuke.
Yeah, the thing about this was that I didn't think that this match was bad at all.
Not a bad match.
I liked it. But as you mentioned, the story, the entire story they were going for was that Yado and Gedo, of course, are the heel invaders, and they are isolating Atsushi Kotoge and later on cheating. Could have told this story in 15 minutes.
I don't think it looks good to have Yado and Gedo go 30 minutes with your guy.
Especially not Yado. Gedo is still able to go, but Yado, man.
Yeah, Yado, not that good. Gato, okay, still not 30 minutes too long.
But I gotta say, Yado looked much better than he did on the World Tag League Tour.
That is true, that's true. And I noted this, the main thing that connected with me with this match is how Kotoge was so over to this crowd.
Yes,
when they had him. He's someone that I think totally could step up and fits in, even though his size is smaller than should be as a heavyweight. Like you mentioned, I noted that as well, that I hope he bulks up soon, because he's very small. I'm legitimately like 30 or 40 pounds bigger than Kotoge. that's me. Like, you know, I'm big for a normal person in terms of muscular, but not big as a wrestler. And Katoge needs to bulk up a little to get there. And like I said, unlike Kenno, who I think he's still kind of fighting himself with the crowd, I think Katoge, the crowd rallies around him when he was in that crossface of Jado, and they teased that, the crowd went insane for him. When he rolled it over into the roll-up, he got a huge pop. He's someone that I think could be, I think there's a ton of upside with him if he can bulk up. And I really like, overall, just to talk about both men, I liked moving these guys up, because it freshens things up overall. Like we said, we needed some different things. These guys have been feuding forever, and it's no knock. All these guys are great wrestlers. Like, there's no real doubt around it. In the junior division, and it's been their calling card for years. But after two to three or four years that these guys have been around, you can only, you know, between the 8 or 9 guys that are all awesome, you can only have them wrestle each other so many times in junior and, you know, in singles and tag matches. So I think moving these guys up and bringing some new blood in there was something that most people hadn't have expected. I know a lot of people were very surprised when Kenno talked about moving up. And I also think, I know a lot of people had a problem with Katoge winning both of the titles only to move up to heavyweight, but I think It gives Noah a chance to have a fresh start going into the new year with what it has been his calling card for so long, for so many years now. And I think it gives him a chance to put some new blood, give somebody new a big push right away. And we'll see what Katoge does. I will say that hopefully that new guys like Hayata and Tadasuke that Katoge mentioned can reinvigorate the division. After the match, Hirata walked off and turned down a Katoge handshake after the tag match. I think we all knew what was going on there.
Yeah.
His character could get freshened up, too.
Yes.
I can't wait to see. If you remember, and this match can be found around online, Katoge's feud in 2013 with Sugiura. They had a very brief program in a tag match and a singles match that they had. And Katoge was amazing. As a character, I've always thought he was better facing people bigger than him as an underdog rather than a junior wrestler. And his style is not a traditional junior style either, so I think he fits right in. I think he's going to be very, I think a lot of people are going to be very surprised by how good he is as a heavyweight, but yeah. I do hope he bulks.
Yeah, and especially as you mentioned, him being so over with the crowd, that's what I mentioned about Kenno as well. So,
yeah,
Katoge and Kenno, I think they are the two best options to turn heavyweight, because Noah badly needs new heavyweights. Yeah. But two of the so-called, I think, old guard...
With O'Hara, Kenno. That's what I'm saying. I would have went with O'Hara over Kenno, but I think Kenno will do awesome as well, because he's a great wrestler. I remember him as... And Michinoku Pro, not only was he a great wrestler, he was also the ace of the company for a long time.
Yeah.
Feuding with Fujita Jr. Hayato. So I know he can be pull off a main event persona, and that's something that the other guys haven't really had yet, I would say. And that's what I would like.
Exactly. So, next match was Takashi Sugiura defeating Naomi Chimaru Fuji in the end, dominating fashion, smashing him in the face with elbows, and then just beating him with the Olympic slam. And on this tour, on the December 14 show, he also defeated Kaito Kiyomiya in a similar fashion. And so Takashi Sugiura is, after he got this heel run with Suzuki-gun, where of course...
A terrible idea.
Yeah.
where
of course he was always assisted by Suzuki-gun. He is now on his own, teaming with Alejandro Zayas for most of the year tour. But he's finally really what his trunks tell you. He's a killing machine. He just kills people.
And finally. I'm so happy.
And that's it. It's not that hard.
I know. This guy is such an amazing wrestler. Like, deep down, I always said it, and everybody was like, no, he sucks. And it's not that he sucks. Like, he was used very poorly and booked all wrong. If you go back to his 2009 title reign, where he was at his strongest, he was one of the best in the world, I really believe. And even now that he's older, he still comes across like one of the toughest bastards that anyone could meet. And he does it so well. It's so legit, and it's totally legit too. He is a badass, and he totally pulls it off here. I loved him in this match especially. I thought he was awesome, just as, like you said, a killing machine. I also loved that when Marufuji was saying, when Sugiura was just nailing him with forearms over and over, Marufuji stuck his hands up and said, come on, come on. I thought that was a great moment. I hope, in my version of Noah, in 2017, I want Kotoge and Sugiura to feud, because I love their feud in 2013. I want to see something extended with these guys. And he's one of the guys that could have this... Sugiura, to me, represents a traditional Noah banger style that they used to have in the days of Kenta, in the days of Takayama. You know, just two guys beating the hell out of each other. That BJW has kind of taken and run with their own twist.
Yeah.
But yeah. Sugiura and Kenta were doing this years and years ago. And maybe Kenta can come back. You never know in 2017 what he's up to. But after this match with Nakajima, there's nobody I can think of at the moment on the roster that can really have this banger style of match. And that's not a knock on anyone, but it's just not their style necessarily. Someone like Marufuji is more of a technique-based wrestler, you could say, than a heavy hitter. And the only one I can think of would be Kotoge in a unique situation. I think Segura's got a lot of upside, again, going into 2017. With this character, this lone wolf style of thing that he's been playing, he's not really on Noah's side, even though he's just not, even though he's not an invader, he's still not necessarily a fan favorite. And I think that when he does accept, you know, when he becomes a fan favorite again, I think he'll be very over as well. But that shouldn't be a long way off, I don't think. I think he's got a lot of juice left in this character.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, because you just can't. He has to be this lone wolf because what his character did. Of course, he betrayed the company he had been in for 15 years.
Yes.
To join the invading group. Just for the sake of gold. So that is so so incredibly selfish that this character has to be on his own for at least a couple of months.
And I like it's also that it's kind of the opposite of Go's arc, like last year around this time that came in, where Go was trying to get accepted, but nobody accepted him. And in this one, everyone wants him to come back, but he's just like, fuck you, pretty much.
Yeah, right. You mentioned Nakajima and Kitamiya. Those two went 26 minutes, and I gotta say, they could have easily cut the first 10 minutes of this match, but the final half of this match was really amazing, because they played off the match from the December 14th show when Masa Kitamiya made Katsuhiko Nakajima tap out in the prison hold, in the prison lock. Of course, one of the signature moves of Masa Saito. Saito being the mentor to Masa Kitamiya, and match by match, day by day, Masa Kitamiya is morphing more into Masa Saito, both looks-wise and from his movement inside the ring. His comeback, this wild comeback he did when Nakajima blasted him with kicks to his arm, and Masa Kitamiya always made his comeback. He just ran wild like Masa Saito did in his prime, and then using the prison lock, the Saito suplex, these short tights, the beard. He is his mentor right now.
Yeah, you can definitely tell. The crowd was very into this, as well. I noted. I like this match a lot, even with the length. My only problem with it was that there just wasn't enough drama or hope that Kitamiya could win. And that's not anybody's fault. It just wasn't the right time. But I loved that what it represented, having these two Noah guys that are truly Noah guys. You know, main event the show. Kitamiya didn't win, but he's on his way. I think he's another person that has a lot of upside. When you look at this roster, everyone was worried about it. You have guys that could step up and that are popular with the fans. I think Kitamiya is very over with this crowd right now. And he's such a great babyface. He's a lot of great instincts that, you know, you never would have known about a couple of years ago. But since his transformation to Masa Kitamiya, you know, with the homages to Masa Saito, just great babyface. They had a great moment at the end after the match. You know, Nakajima got the win with a really tremendous roundhouse kick to the head, which was just awesome. And then the brainbuster spike. Really good stuff here. Respect at the end between the two they had. You know, Nakajima went right away to hug him. There's no turn or anything like that, or, you know, people jumping into the ring. That was before. This was just a straightforward main event that everybody enjoyed. I definitely enjoyed it. I thought the last two matches were really good, and I enjoyed this show overall a lot, I have to say. I was actually pretty surprised by how much I liked this. I think the crowd, as you mentioned, they added a lot to this. And it just made me happy to see this show, because it was a good show, first of all, and it represented good things for the new era of Noah, so to speak. I also wanted to note, I took note of the main event. I loved the entrances of the main event, starting with them backstage. And this was taken directly from old All Japan matches that they used to do this with. And I think it added a nice big feel to this match. And I think it brought about what I feel about this entire show, that Noah in the last few years have had mostly bad shows, occasionally good ones, but they always felt like New Japan shows. This felt like a Noah show up and down, and I love that touch of the main event entrances. Still need to bring back those streamers, though. That's all I'll say about that. Once they get to that, it'll feel like Noah again, and this felt like Noah again for the first time in so long, and I think they build a great, this is a great starting point for the new generation, or the new era of Noah, and I really enjoyed the match and the show on the whole.
And as you mentioned, the guys on top, Nakajima and Masaki Tamiya, really setting the stage for Noah in 2017, as they are, they need to push their guys. And over the last couple of days, I did some math, and I have the average attendance for last year's Winter Navigation Tour. Of course, including Suzuki-gun, all those guys that were in Suzuki-gun, like Minoru Suzuki, the Killer Elite Squad, the New Japan guys like Taichi, then Takamichi Noku.
Shelton was still there.
Yeah, that's right. Shelton was still there. The Winter Navigation Tour last year, of course, topped with the very successful end of the year show on December 23rd, which isn't included into this calculation. But last year's Winter Navigation Tour did of 462 fans, with two Kurikan Hall shows. And this year's average attendance for the Winter Navigation Tour is 638. Mm. So they beat last year's tour, and that's telling. That's quite telling about what...
You got to listen to me. I said this. I said this all year that this would happen. I'm really happy to hear that. In spite of the suspect news of the office change, I'm really happy to hear about that. They didn't have the big show this year. They just ran Corken Hall.
Yeah.
So no big, thing at the end. But they did good, and I love the crowd. I think the crowd says a lot how they reacted. Is a tip off that good things are ahead in 2017 if they keep. I think there's a good vision in place now for the first time. And like I said, I wasn't expecting some of those things in terms of the juniors moving up. I don't think anybody really predicted that, but it's actually a great idea and super logical in hindsight. And I'm really, really interested in this company. Way, way more interested than I was going into, 1 year ago at this time.
Yeah. Like, me too. Me too.
Yeah. So great job on everybody on Noah. And I like I said, I hope they bring more Noah-isms, so to speak, like those entrances. I hope they bring the streamers back. I hope we see some more of that.
Yeah, Dylan, I don't know. I made you watch Dragon Gate.
A terrible decision.
for the last couple of days, I caught up on Dragon Gate, watched some Kurikan Hall shows from December, and then also watched the Final Gate show, which of course all ran like 5 hours again.
Oh, you must have loved that.
Yeah. For the record, I didn't think that most Noah matches on the card we talked about were too long. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. This final, I really don't want to talk about many matches, because it just feels like to me, I've always been a big Dragon Gate fan. Dragon Gate has basically been my break into Japanese wrestling, really. I watched Japanese wrestling before in 2002, 2004 with Zero One and New Japan, but really my big break was when I started watching Dragon Gate in 2005. But let me say this: they have very, very good young talent. They have great, great guys like T-Hawk, like Big Ashimizu. They have guys like Benkei, especially Benkei. He is so great. They have Kotoka. They have Lindaman. They have all those guys, Kaito Ishida and Takahiro Yamamura. They are a little bit behind the curve right now, it seems like. They have Eita. So many, many, many great guys. But I really can't get behind this, what they are presenting, especially on their big shows. The feeling I have is that the mix of matches is so off for me. Like, for example, they have this Eita against Kagetora match in the mid-card that goes 11 minutes, and the Dragon Gate psychology of working a title match includes that you have to kick out of the finishing move. And why do you hit a finishing move in an 11-minute match when it is not the finish? That's just beyond me. I don't know.
Let me just say this before we do talk about this final gate show. That 5-versus-5 young guy versus old guy match from earlier in the month was a great, great match.
Yes,
I talked about that.
With Shima just killing Benkei and Shun Skywalker on the outside. Dude.
I love that match a lot. And Benkei and Shun Skywalker are awesome. I like both of those guys. Benkei is getting a lot of publicity on Twitter, so to speak, a lot of hype. I love Skywalker too in that match, so don't forget about him. But Benkei was on this Final Gate card in a lackluster role, you could say.
Yeah.
Teaming in a kind of a nothing or complete. Their team in that Trios title match felt like three guys. We don't have anything for them, but let's put them together and then just throw them out there. No real build to it that I can tell. Okay, let me first of all start off with this opening match. This thing was horrible. So bad.
Didn't look Kyosuke Sada Maria. Didn't she look cute?
So horrible. Just everything about this. I hated this match so much. Every person in this match I thought was terrible. And I actually like K-Ness, for a long time. If they released all of these people tomorrow, I would hope Noah signs none of them. let me just out. Besides KMS, maybe. But the rest,
dude,
I hated this match so much.
So much. I always said that Gamma is so far away from the Dragon Gate standard. That's just how I feel about him. Yeah.
Sorry. Better or worse than Brother Yashi for Dragon Gate in 2016?
I don't know. That's tough.
who made that decision? I mean, Gamma at least makes sense. He's Shima's friend. Everybody knows it. Yashi, who knows?
There has to be something about Yashi.
There has to be something. I think that's the best way. Yeah. Okay, another thing. In the second match here, first of all, Big R takes the fall to KZ, which... I love Big R. When I watched Dragon Gate earlier this year, if you had talked to me like a year and a half ago, I'd have said, man, Dragon Gate has to be one of the worst promotions in the world. I could never get into it. But watching it this year, I actually kind of did, mostly due to this show and your influence, Trigger. I actually did follow along and actually like a lot of the guys on the roster a little better this year than I have in years past. And Big R really stands out to me as someone they could get behind. Here he takes the fall to KZ, who's been around in...
Yeah, they had kind of a feud on the recent shows before Final Gate, and they also worked around this running uppercut slash elbow smash deal that KZ did to finish the match. So there is a story behind this at first sight weird looking finish.
And well, what was the story behind Susumu working twice on this card instead of someone else?
Excuse me? What did you just say?
I'd say, what was the story of Susumu wrestling in two matches? He worked twice on this card. He worked the tag match and the triangle match.
Yeah? Dude, I'm...
Why?
I don't know.
I was so confused when that happened.
Of course, Genki Horiguchi was injured, and he had to be replaced. He had to be replaced in the triangle gate match.
Okay. I was so confused when that happened. Yeah. But I guess that makes sense. Even still, I don't like guys working twice on the biggest show of the year. or not the biggest show, but the last show of the year.
But at least for Suzumi, it makes sense, as he in this Doi Darts 12-man tag match, he pinned Yamato, the champion, mm-hmm. and he now worked twice on this show. After he lost the first match, he gained two pinfalls in the Open the Triangle Gate elimination three-way match. So that made sense.
They had the next match with Mochizuki and Fuji, Ishida, Yamamura, and it was okay. It was kind of a typical match. I didn't note much of it. Mochizuki looked good and all that. They had the Eita and Kagetora match. As you mentioned earlier, you mentioned about the psychology kind of being off for this, and I actually totally agree. Eita's another person that I've really enjoyed in Dragon Gate this year. You know, he has his numero uno armbar. He has a lot of good stuff in his package here, but like you said, it only went 10 minutes, or 11 minutes, and I don't know. There was this big cartwheel DDT type thing from the top rope that was cool, and the finish felt a little rushed to me as well, but okay match, not
great.
That
is what I was talking about when Jimmy Kagetora went for his finishing move. Eita kicked out. And then they just went to this cradle from the top rope, which is called Salamander. And that was it.
It was cool, but it was kind of a cool looking thing, but like you said, it was just, there was no psychology to it. No. It just went right one thing to the other. The triangle match,
it is always a clusterfuck. I hate those matches.
And this is another match that went way long. Like the last
they
three matches.
They always do.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's the entire gripe I have with all those Dragon Gate big shows, that the matches always go so freaking long. At least for the Twin Gate match, there were some cool spots, but
yeah,
that was about it.
I thought this was a really mismatched group of guys too. When you look at it, you have Jimmy Konda, Cyber Kong, Mandai Ryu, Kotoka, Ryo Saito, and from there, I mean, we like Ben K, and I like Susumu a lot. I didn't understand him wrestling twice, even with you telling me that. Yoshino, obviously an ace of the company. The third team really felt like, I don't know, that they could have done better, or at least set up some sort of, I don't know. These guys don't really fit together either. Yoshino, Ben K, and Kotoka. That's a really random team. And I didn't like the Berserk team very much. To be honest, in this match, I thought they kind of wasted a lot of time early on. Like you said, way too long. Susumu got the pins over Cyber and Kotoka, so that is good. At least he's got a big push coming out of that. Twin Gate match, I noted this spot, too, that, first of all, this went way too long again, but like you said, they did have some good moments. I noted by the end, things were starting to get good, so to speak, like really get into things, but when Shima hit his package powerbomb onto the chairs that they had stacked up, they stacked out a lot of chairs, and Shima slowly walked across the ring while holding Shingo in this package piledriver, then hits the package powerbomb. Shingo, he lays there for a good 2 to 3 seconds. This impact was not... This did not look devastating by any means, I have to say. It was a very short fall. He suddenly starts convulsing and acting like he got electrocuted. That was questionable selling on Shingo's part. By the end, there was a really cool... The finish, I thought, came across really awesome.
Yes.
First of all, T-Hawk was a bloody mess here, but... Over-generated... Yeah, go ahead and explain it.
No, I just wanted to throw in that Shima was bleeding heavily too. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, these guys were a bloody mess, and loved Overgeneration's finisher of T-Hawk was on the top rope, Dragon Kid was on the top rope, DK hits a Super Rana, and as soon as T-Hawk hits the ground, when he pops up, it was perfect timing of Shima hitting Meteora on it. It was awesome,
and especially from the camera angle they had, you didn't see Shima coming. From the top.
Nope, not at all.
That was so great, yeah.
I love that finisher. That was the highlight probably of this whole show to me, was that spot. Then it came to the main event, and I'm interested in your take on this main event, because it was long.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a good match. I thought it was good, despite the length, but I had some problems. So what do you have to say about this main event? I've been talking a lot. It's open to degree.
The good thing about this match is they did lack work, and they picked it up in the finish of the match. But at the end of the match, there was this comeback Naoki Doi had. He had his right leg, I guess it was, worked over the entire match. Then wanted to hit the muscular bomb, but couldn't because his leg was breaking down, which was very good. But then he made this comeback, and you thought, man, he's going to get a comeback, and eventually getting another hope pinfall or something like that. But no, they went straight to the finish.
Yes. Yeah, I noted that too. This match was 35 minutes, but somehow this finish still came across way too rushed, I thought.
That is crazy, right? Because it just feels like the middle part of this match, the middle 15 minutes of this match just didn't matter at all.
No, I thought Doi showed great fire on the closing forearm exchange they had when he did fire it up. I have to say, opposite of the Noah show, this crowd was not helping anybody's cause. I felt here that they weren't digging this.
It was Fukuoka, you know.
Fukuoka. You can't blame any of the wrestlers for that. They didn't make their presence felt, but when Doi fired up, they did come alive a little bit by the end. But for this match to go so long, Yamato, just like you said, Doi had this crazy fire off, like Hanma style. He looked to the crowd. The crowd started to get with him. And Yamato he ends up getting the Samoan driver and then the Galleria. It was a totally flat finish. And it was a flat finish to a flat show, I would say. But I thought overall the main event was still the best match on the card. And it was a good match. And coming into it, I don't know if it was enough to save the show, though. You bought this show. This was not anything like that. You bought this. You dedicated your time and your money and your effort to this. Because yes. I've tried to get Nico Nico to work, and I could not do it. Well, whatsoever. A million times.
I don't know if I'm going to continue really to watch Dragon Gate in 2017, because you have to invest so much time into Dragon Gate to really follow the storylines, and those big shows always disappoint me. And I'm at that point of really, I don't know, with Dragon Gate. It's a product that it's usually either laughed or hated. I usually like it, but I don't know.
I could tell as you're talking about this. So like we actually weren't even going to go over this show. we started to talk about it a little bit. And I was all for it because I wasted my time watching this crap. So I wanted to talk about it. But Stringer was like, we don't need to get into it. And I was like, no, let's do it. So I feel bad, Stringer, because I know you, like I said, you got me into Dragon Gate this year because I was already at this point for years heading into this. Although I admit I was a fan of Dragon Gate for a long time as well when I first started watching around 2008, 2009. Dragon Gate was one of my first companies too that I watched, but after a while it drove me away for a lot of reasons, the style and everything. And this year I thought they've done a great job of it. And last year as well, I enjoyed a lot of BB Hulk's title reign last year. And this year I thought they continued that in a lot of ways, but like you said, these last two shows especially that we've watched, the last time we talked about Dragon Gate with the Monster Express, breakup match was the last show we talked about at length on this show. And this show, I'm not having the excitement and love for this company going into 2017, I have to admit. But I was surprised to see you're even more negative than me. So that's good. I like being the positive one.
Yeah, so let's end this show on a positive note, because you, Dylan, you mentioned Dragon Ball. And this past week, right before Christmas, the great site that is co-run by one of the Samurai TV announcers, ProRezo Today, the site is called. No Puro, just ProRezo-Today.com. Oh, they actually released the second part of the interview. I have to get into that. They had an interview with Kota Ibushi. And Kota Ibushi, in this interview, the first question that they asked him was when he first had the idea to become a pro wrestler. And Ibushi answered that in fifth grade, he wanted to be Son Goku.
Of Dragon Ball. Of course he did.
Like, we all wanted to be Son Goku. Man.
So we all wanted to be Goku.
So he wanted to be Son Goku, but of course that in the real world was impossible. But then he saw pro wrestling for the first time, and he thought, this is the real Dragon Ball. Of course, Dragon Ball had these tournaments that made most of their seasons, that consisted most of the seasons about. And he also said that Shinya Hashimoto, Takada, and I believe he also mentioned Genichiro Tenryu were some of his idols when he grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And Ibushi, of course, also was shown briefly on, as we are recording this on December 29, on today's Ryzen Mixed Martial Arts. I don't want to say show. I want to say extravaganza. Extravaganza is a good term to call it, because it started out with Nobuhiko Takada playing the trumpet.
I did see a gif of that on Twitter. I'm not a huge MMA, but I follow Ryzen and I know some of the guys on there. But yes, how great was that?
He played the Saints Are Marching In, and he got everything horribly wrong when he started playing.
I love it.
It was so amazing. Japanese mixed martial arts were presented on a big stage is the best thing ever, and it is as close to pro wrestling as you can get. And this show just had me... The people on Twitter that were watching this show today on... And we have to say thank you to Eversports, because they presented that show for free in the Saitama Super Arena. It was a 13 fight card, and it was like 5.5 hours long, but at no point did this show feel too long. There is, I want to just mention one thing. There is this guy they present as a new star of Japanese mixed martial arts. He's called Tenshin Nasukawa. He faced, I think, Ukrainian guy whose name I don't have right now. And at one point, this Ukrainian guy had Tenshin in a cross arm breaker, and Tenshin's arm was so badly bent that the announcing team immediately said, "Oh man, his arm is broken. His arm is broken."
Oh, man.
But Nasukawa came out of that and then finished the match by TKO. And then said he would be fighting 2 days later. And Takada said he's been cleared to fight at the New Year's Eve show. And then, of course, during this match, they showed Kota Ibushi in the crowd. And people immediately thought, maybe this guy may be fighting Kota Ibushi at the New Year's Eve show. We will see. At the point when this show is released, the New Year's Eve show probably already has happened, and we will know. But just to get you, to get my excitement over to you, the listener, it was just incredible. It was, and of course, we had Mirko Krokop still being.
I saw this fight, by the way, after it happened. I watched this.
Yeah,
yes,
being able to deliver. Just not being an old guy, just being able to deliver and defeat a guy who is in his prime right now, I guess, with King Mo.
If you call it that, yes.
Well, his prime.
Yeah. Yeah, King Mo, a former wrestler himself, TNA.
Big fan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. He's actually a pretty fun guy, but Krokop looked... I was so happy to see Krokop come back. On that card, I made a point to watch that match, and I didn't want to watch TK's fight. Who's a big? If you're a fan of rings, you know,
yes,
Tsuyoshi.
Yes, of course. Saw your tweet about Tsuyoshi Kosaka.
I wished him well before the fight.
The thing is, we talked off air about it. I think Kosaka was like 222 pounds, and Baruto was like 395, and going in. Of course, it was pretty clear who was going to win that fight. But
That's why I didn't watch, because I knew it was going to be something crazy like that. But great, amazing technical wrestler, if you ever watched any of his ring stuff, by the way, Kosaka.
Yes.
Kingbo, not quite as technically sound as Kosaka.
So if you didn't still, if you didn't yet watch those Ryzen shows, because they are a spectacle. And final note I have for this show is that on this day, Hikaru Sato also ran a show, a hard hit show, which is his shoot style brand. And this show that he promoted in Shinjuku Face has an official attendance. And this official attendance is just a little bit less than Ryzen.
What is the attendance? What's the number?
That's the number.
That's it? Just a little bit less than Ryzen?
Yes.
Okay. Hikaru Sato.
I love this guy. Yeah, from the two of us, there is no really, not really a year summary, not really a year-end show, no year-end awards. There are so many shows doing year-end awards and summaries of 2016, but just stuff that happened and we wanted to talk about, like Kanemura, Onita, Noah, Dragon Gate, Ryzen, all that stuff. So, yeah. Dylan, is there anything else you want to get into?
Okay, so not to pat myself on the back too much here, but on Lucha Talk, we had a year-end awards show this week. It's pretty great, first of all, but at the end of it, we did make some predictions for 2017. And as this year wraps up, yes, I had some wild ones there, but for you, Strigo, what would be a prediction, at least one prediction, you could go off as many as you want, but what do you predict will happen in the world of Japanese pro wrestling in 2017? Give us something bold, something nice, or true,
something,
whatever you
something
want.
Something bold, so I have to go out on a limb, right?
Okay, yes. You can give us one that you actually think will happen, and one that you kind of think will happen, but it would also be kind of crazy if it did.
Okay.
I have to.
The one thing I think is going to happen is that Yoshihashi is going to be IWGP Intercontinental Champion by the end of 2017.
Oh, that would be really nice. That would be really cool. I'd love that. You'd see a very happy Dylan on this show. With that.
And then there is a bold prediction. The bold prediction is that New Japan and All Japan will run Sumo Hall together in August this year, as both promotions celebrate their 45th anniversary next year.
Yep.
So the announced show that Akiyama already announced is going to be a All Japan and New Japan show.
That would be really awesome if that happened. That would be really amazing if that happened. But so I'm really looking forward to that, because that would actually make a lot of sense too. And Akiyama's shown to be a shrewd negotiator and could make some things happen. If anybody can do it, we trust in Uncle June. For me, my prediction, first of all, I'm predicting that we talked about Noah earlier, so I'm going to give us a Noah prediction. And that is that we talked about them as sleazy indies. The 24th show actually didn't have that at all. I was actually sort of afraid. I didn't know the card when I saw you tweet that you were going to cut the sleazy indies. But we cut it there. There was some great stuff. So I think who better to jump to Noah in 2017 than the king of the indies, Kai, who recently left Wrestle 1.
Dude, yeah.
He's coming in to save Noah in 2017. That's your next heavyweight main event star right there in 2017.
What would you? Kai and Shiozaki had a great match in the 2013 Champion Carnival.
Yeah, I'd love to see a rematch of that. He recently got his pants back as well, and before he left Wrestle 1 officially. We noted that he got his tights back which was very nice. He looked like a wrestler again. But I love to see him and Noah. I think really, heavyweight prospects in the Japanese scene aren't flowing. So I think he'd be a perfect fit in Noah, and I think that will happen. That's my prediction. Because he represents the indies more than anybody else as Noah moves forward. And for an off-the-wall prediction, I loved yours with All Japan and New Japan. And my prediction is, my bold prediction is that Tiger Mask W will receive a world title shot in 2017. As Tiger Mask W, not anybody else that could be playing him. I want Tiger Mask W to receive a title shot in New Japan in 2017. It could be a one-off. It could be a junior heavyweight title shot. It could be something, but he will receive a title shot in 2017. Our hero, of course.
Yes, but of course, this is one of our heroes, but our true hero on this show. We began the show with him. We are going to end the show with him. He is the end-all and be-all of pro wrestling. All hail, all hail, Atsushi Onita. You can find me on Twitter at Striga, Striga, Puroloft.com for all your pro wrestling results, and cagematch.net if you want to find something obscure like the XWF results I just talked about, or Dylan's random
Apache Pro
card he found. There is all the stuff we have for you waiting there, and with that, I'm going to throw that to you, Dylan.
First of all, I defy anyone to find another podcast or radio show anywhere that will go down a random Apache Pro card in 2006. This is your show if you love that style of podcast. I want to thank you to all the people out there who voted for Eastern Lariat and the World Famous Sheedy Awards.
Yeah, thank you.
We didn't win. I'm not going to lie. A lot of people, big wrestling coverage ended up pushing us out, unfortunately. And our show name also got mispronounced on the actual podcast announcing the awards. But that's okay, because we love the support from our friends out there. And that's how I feel. I love talking to you guys, more than anything. I love having that extra layer on Twitter. And I always say it, and I totally mean it. Find me on Twitter at Dylan0PS. As always, I'm going to be doing some stuff. As I said, we're getting closer to the new year, and I'm going to be doing some stuff on Pro Wrest Spirit that I'll probably talk about on the next show. January 4th Dome show coming up, so everybody look forward to that. Make sure to listen to Lucha Talk, my Lucha Libre show on the MLW Radio Network. As I mentioned, we're having a year-end award show this week that probably will just have dropped by the time, or just came out by the time this show releases. It's actually a pretty great show. I don't usually like bragging about our shows, but I think it's pretty great, as well as last week's show, which was a AAA history show up from 1992, its debut, to right now, with our first ever special guest, which was Rob Viper.
Oh.
And it featured, you have to listen to this, Striga, and not just because I always want you to listen to my stuff, and I want everyone to always listen to me, but this in particular wasn't as much me as much as him and Fredo going over amazing, goofy, mid-2000s AAA storylines that you have to hear to believe.
That is amazing.
Yes, there was a wrestler based on Chucky, the doll.
That guy. Yeah. Wait a second. I saw him on some cards.
Wing did have Leatherface, to be fair.
Yes.
That is a great history lesson in AAA. But Japanese Pro Wrestling did not have Los Warriors and Los Barrio Boys. I will say that when we go over. And a great romantic storyline in AAA that has to be heard to believe. The Year of the World show is really good as well, so everybody check that out if you're a fan of Lucha or want to get into it. With that, I hope everybody had a really great Christmas season and everything. I hope everybody has a really nice New Year's. Don't get too drunk out there if you're listening to this. Be careful out there. We don't want alcohol poisoning on anyone. And I especially said it to Striga, my co-host.
What?
But I'm just saying, I just want to put it out there. PSA, no reason. I think you back me up is what I'm saying on that.
Yeah.
I know you're a straight edge individual. You would never do it.
Don't get too drunk. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. Just leaving it at that.
Yeah, so thank you all for listening, and I hope to see you next time.
Yeah, from the Eastern Lariat, we hope to bring you new shows next year, and we also hope that you have a great start to the new year that is going to be 2017. We hope 2017 is going to be as crazy as 2016 was, even crazier maybe, we don't know. We don't know yet, of course, but...
That's a scary thing to think about.
Right. From the two of us, Happy New Year and goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the end.